Hey everybody, welcome back to Brunch Babes and Bossing Up. My name is Josephine Menardes, and although you may know everything about me if you are on the podcast, because low-key, I just started, so there's a very good chance that whoever's listening to this probably knows the ins and outs of my life, but on the off chance that you don't, I wanted to just chat real quick about what is kind of going on in my life. So officially, the Bridal Bell launches this Saturday. Woohoo! I am so excited, but so nervous. I'm actually going to get my lashes done that morning, and then I'm also going to be running errands because it's just a Saturday for me, and it kind of just runs itself. So I have to prep everything and get some last minute stuff done. But for the most part, she's good and ready to go. And then I have my I have a pop-up next weekend that I have to prepare for. So that's been a little something because I've never done a pop-up before. So I'm very excited, but also very nervous. And I have some stuff due for that this weekend. And then I'm recording this episode for you. My mom just recently has been talking to me about Christmas plans, so that's been interesting. All in all, this past week has been a little interesting, and I had to take my driver's test because, fun fact, anybody outside of the state of California that got your license and you're like, oh, well, I'm going to move to California and I won't have to change my license because I already passed the driver's test and everything, so I just need to renew it there. No, you don't. You have to take a driver's test in California, a written driver's test, and it's the only state that you have to do it in, from what I understand, so that's a little frustrating because, again, if you know me, I failed this test 3 times in Arkansas. 3 times. And so I was absolutely terrified to take this test. And I had such, like, the worst testing anxiety I've ever had in my life. I had today. Or not today. I guess I passed it yesterday morning. So I was super stressed out. And I had to go into work late. And I go into work as a 21-year-old at 8 a.m. So I clock in at 8 a.m. and I'm off at 4:30. But previous to this schedule, I would clock in at 9 and I'd clock out at 5:30. And I thought I loved it because I was like, oh, well, I get to sleep in and yeah, I have to work a little later, but it's fine. No, I have fallen in love. And by love, I mean big L-O-V-E, love, with clocking in at 8 a.m. and clocking out at 4:30. Like, my brain has officially started timing out at 4:30 whenever it comes to the brand of a regular exposure. Like, I can't think about anything after that. And I was, like, pressing myself yesterday for that last hour. I was like, come on, Josephine, you gotta come up with, like, you gotta just push through. It's this last hour. Like, you got it. And, like, you know how you get in, like, an itis almost the last hour or so of your shift every now and then? Or maybe it takes you a minute to get back into the groove after lunch, whatever it is. And so it's, like, really, it's just a lot, and I was just not, my brain was not prepared for that switch up, but it was fine because I passed the test, and I will officially have my California license here in a few days, and I got all of my clothes. I had ordered so many clothes, so I had a pair of jeans. I thought an entire bikini. Fun fact, it was only the top, and it's a little big, but it's all right. I'll get it taken in or something. Like, I hate returning things, so I'll probably just handle it myself. And then I also got this cute little thing. Shout out to Coffee and Chains. I'll have to tag them whenever I post this because, oh my God, this is so cute. Like, go look up their Instagram at Coffee and Chains, and it's Coffee and Chains. And it is like a little purse for your coffee cups. Like, hear me out. You go to Starbucks. I have 2 phones. So I have my personal phone, and then I have my work phone where I put all of my connections and like any models, anything that we're doing anything with, it goes in that phone. And like all of my brides that I have, they're all in that phone. I don't have anybody in my personal phone except like my family and friends. In turn, I have this phone. I have normally my backpack, which has my laptop and all my notebooks and everything I need for my day. And then sometimes I have a jacket with me. And then I also sometimes have like, I have my keys in my hand. Typically, like, I always have those in my hand. I don't know why I don't put them in my backpack. I think it's in half. I don't know. But anyways, I always have my keys in my hand, and then typically I have something else, like whether it be a snack or my lunch or another bag or a product, whatever it is, I always have something else in my hands. So I'm never like fully capable of carrying a coffee cup. And so I found this at like 2 a.m. on Instagram, and it was, or maybe it was TikTok, I can't remember, but it was an ad that popped up, and it was like this cute, like it literally just slide, your coffee just slides in to this thing, and it just like, it's this little like leather cuff almost, and it's like it's literally sewn on the sides, so that way the coffee cup fits in it perfectly with the friction, and it just holds it, and it's got a chain on it, so that way I can hold it like a purse, and I can just hold it with a, like a finger. Like, how frick frackin' exciting is that? Like, I literally bought it. It was $40 after shipping. I have no regrets. Like, I'm excited. I'm using it tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Watch me walking out of Starbucks with that fucking thing on my wrist. I am so excited for this. My jeans, I was really nervous because after I had purchased them, I saw that the model was like 5'5". And if you're tall like me, I'm 5'11". If you're tall like me, you have a hard time with anything that's pants or skirts or anything like that. Anything that just, like, honestly, the lower half of my body is the epitome of my existence because I have such long legs that my leggings are short, my pants are short, my dresses are short, my skirts are short, everything's short. And so, because I'm not 5'9", so it's at least 2 inches shorter for the most part, if not more, if it's made for a shorter gal. Well, oh my God, this pair of jeans, I found out afterwards that the model was 5'5". And I was like, oh shit, I think I fucked up. I think I fucked up. Like that TikTok sound, ooh, I fucked up. That's what I had in my head. I'm like, I'm not going to cancel my order because if anything else, I have a friend that's a seamstress and I can just have her like take them in and make them like a skinny jean or something and it would be fine. But they were just too cute to pass up. Like they are literally distressed all down the backside. Like the sexiest pair of jeans I have ever owned in my life. I'm obsessed with them. And so I put them on whenever they got here. And I was super nervous because I ordered a size 11, and in jeans, I've noticed that, like, honestly, in general sizing, I'm sitting between an 8 and a 10 typically, but in jeans, I always size up because my hips are really big, and so I'm, like, trying to play with this in my head, and I was like, the jeans looked like they had a good little chunk of stretch. I think I'm good. I pulled them out of the package and I was like, I don't know if I'm good. Like, I'm a little nervous. I mean, they look like they have a lot of stretch. I don't know. These babies hug like a glove. Oh my God, they're beautiful. Y'all are gonna have to peep my Instagram because you know I'm about to be out in them this weekend somehow. Like, oh my God, they're gorgeous. And then I got a bathing suit top, which I thought was an entire bathing suit, but it's fine. I'm just gonna handle that. I have a white bikini bottom, a black bikini bottom, and a mocha bikini bottom. The top is a blue and like a seafoam green kind of color. So I don't really know what I'm going to do with it low-key. Like I put myself on the wait list for the bottoms, but I don't know. I'm a little frustrated with that, but that's whatever. Anyways, that's my update. I've been shopping more than I thought I did. I got all three of my packages at once and I was like, holy shit, I've been shopping a lot. So I shopped more than I thought I did. I'm very excited about my coffee and I had my friend date. Oh my God. I talked about it, the past couple of episodes where I reached out to this girl and I was like, hey, we should go out. We should go do something. Like, I want to be friends with you. And she was like, totally, let's do it. And so I accidentally like failed on hip hop class. As you know, I just ended up completely forgetting about it. And so at this point, I met up with her yesterday at a place in LA called Cafe Gratitude. It's a vegan cafe out here. So good. I love Cafe Gratitude. I actually wasn't introduced to it until earlier this year. Yeah, earlier this year. And it was super yummy. I had like this mushroom burger or mushroom sandwich, but it was supposed to be like a chicken sandwich kind of vibe, but it was a mushroom, like shiitake mushroom instead. It was really, really good. But her and I really clicked. I had so much fun with her. She was a gem and a half. I know she's probably listening to this podcast. So Aria, I adore you. And I'm so excited that we got to chat and I can't wait for next time. But it's also Holy Week this week. So I am going to Mass later this week. I have to go tomorrow. And I was going to go Friday for the service, but they're having the service in like the middle of the day. And I'm not taking off for something that's not a holy day of obligation. Sorry, God. Can't do it. So, not going to Good Friday service, but I am going to Maundy Thursday Mass tomorrow, and then I have my Easter, but I can't decide if I'm going to go on Saturday or Sunday. Y'all be hearing this on Easter, so happy Easter, but I can't decide if I'm going to go Saturday or Sunday because I love Easter Vigil, but we shall see. Anyways, into the topic of discussion. I believe that is my entire little intro, so sorry this one's a little bit longer than a normal little intro, but I had a lot of stuff to tell you guys, and I really do enjoy just talking to y'all, so I think I just maybe went a little overboard. Anyways, the title of today's episode is What I Would Tell My 15-Year-Old Self. So, I wrote a blog post on this whenever, you know, blogs were a thing, a couple of years ago. I think it was, like, right before I moved to California, or maybe it was, like, no, it was in the thick of quarantine, because I sat there and thought about it for a really long time, and, like, this was a very self-reflecting blog for me. And I went back and read it a few weeks ago, and I was like, I need to do a podcast episode on this because I would tell myself completely different things now. Like, there's one thing I would tell myself still because, like, I still remind myself of it every now and then. And I think that's, like, interesting because I keep evolving and, like, becoming this new and better version of myself. I feel every month, every year, every day. And in turn, it's like I have new stuff to tell myself. I have new stuff that I want to tell my 15-year-old self. So if you want to know what I told my 15-year-old self in 2020 during a pandemic, then you're more than welcome to read my blog. It's, I believe, attached in the show notes, like in the actual show itself. Because I had to attach a website. So I believe it's there. But if not, just shoot me a DM and I can send you directly to it because it's, Josephine or Josephine 2 or something like that. Like the URL is so whack that I don't even feel comfortable just giving it to you guys. And I changed the name of the actual like page, like the landing page itself. Now it's Brunch Babes and Bossing Up because that's the name of my podcast. But I couldn't change the URL without purchasing a domain, and I'm not purchasing a domain for this yet. So, anyways, hopping into everything, what I would tell my 15-year-old self, and I have five things here, and I'm going to explain why I would tell myself these five things, which I feel is a given. Sorry, my air conditioner is really loud, but I am actually really excited because I sat here and I thought about it for like 10 minutes. I was like, I already kind of knew a few of the things I would tell myself, but I'm like, what are some things that would really hit home for a 15-year-old listening to this podcast? And so I want to start with this first one. Crying is a part of the process. So, I say this because I am such a crier, and I know not everybody's a crier. Like, I have definitely, like, pulled back on how much I cry. I don't cry near as much as I used to, which, like, go me. But I remember, like, I would sit on the kitchen counter and with my mom at 6 o'clock while she was cooking dinner, and I would just be, like, in tears crying about how my friends did this, or I didn't feel this, or something was going on at school, or there was drama. Like, growing. I was literally just growing and crying. And, like I was telling my boss the other day, there's such thing as, like, pain, and then there's, like, growing pains. So, like, growing pains is me as a freaking adult having to make friends. Like, that's a growing pain. It's not comfortable. It's not super, like, fun until you get into it. Like, it's not a comfortable process. You feel like you're going on a first date all over again, and you have no clue who this person is. You could either love them or hate them. Like, you're literally tossing yourself on a blind date that you set up yourself. Like, it's a lot, and it's a growing pain. And I feel that crying whenever you're going through those growing pains is completely okay. Like, I was low-key having a mental breakdown at the beginning of this week. I was so overwhelmed and stressed just by life in general, and it was just like I didn't feel like I could keep up. I felt like I was going to keep falling behind. I felt unwell, and it was like I hadn't really reached a point of like throwing a temper tantrum, because I have hit that point before, but I try to avoid hitting that point, you know, because it's really not good for anybody involved. But I was sitting there on the phone with my mom, and I was just crying. And my mom is not the person to go to for sympathy, but I go to her for a clear mind. She really helps me, like, kind of figure out what I'm really feeling. She is an advocate for mental health. She's in complete understanding that sometimes you need a break. She is honestly the best human in the world, but She is not the person I go to for sympathy. She's the person I go to for a clear mind, for complete understanding of what I'm going through, because she usually goes through similar things that I went through. So me sitting here and saying, you know, I don't feel like I've given myself enough time off. She's like, girl, I feel it. Like, yeah, I don't give myself enough time off either. And so she's very, like, understanding and empathetic. She does have empathy, but she doesn't have sympathy. However, I still remember sitting on the counter crying consistently whenever I was younger, and she was like, it's okay, it's all part of the process, all part of the process. I'm like, whatever, I just want to stop crying, because then your eyes are puffy, you don't feel great, your nose is all stuffy, it's a whole mess. I hate crying. And I have learned that crying is so beneficial in many ways. Like, physically, yeah, you might feel a little icky, but think of the last time that you really just let it out. You just sobbed. Like, I had, the last time I think I sobbed was Christmas of last year. And it wasn't actually Christmas, it was before Christmas. But my boyfriend and I at the time had broke up, and him and I were living together. And so I had, you know, I was having a hard time because, like, he was on my couch every night until his new apartment was ready for him to move in. And I was trying to, like, I was in my house, like, in my bed or whatever. So all we had was, like, a door separating us. And I was trying to go through a breakup. He was trying to go through a breakup. Like, all around, it was hard. But I remember him being out and about with his friends one day. He was just out there with them. And I was like, okay, cool. And whenever he was out there with them, I was able to actually have the apartment to myself and just cry. And I fell to the ground because of how hard I was sobbing. Like, I mean, sobbing. But I stood up and I didn't cry again. Like, well, I say that. I didn't sob again. I had tears in my eyes. I would cry. I would get upset. But I didn't sob again. And it was like, in a sense, you're like ripping a Band-Aid off. You're gonna have to cry eventually. It's grief. It's, you know, happy tears. It's necessary. Like, tears are necessary. There's a reason we cry. It's not just for grins and giggles. Like, it's truly physically helpful. Like, the tightness in my chest alleviates. I feel good. My shoulders don't feel so heavy. My back doesn't feel like it's hurting. Like, I physically go through pain whenever I need to cry, and I'm not letting myself. I'm holding it back. And so, in just letting yourself cry, you have full opportunity to just get it out. And that's so helpful. And I wish I would have told my 15-year-old self that, of just like, just get it out, girl, because it's all a part of the process and it's necessary. The second thing I would tell myself, hold up, I have it on a sticky note. The support does not equal the success. So back in Arkansas, I would not say that I was most supported on what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. Anytime I'd tell a teacher, they'd tell me I was crazy. It never quite clicked for anybody in my small town that I was capable of doing what I'm doing. And so for a while I was always like, you know, what if I can't do it? Like, I remember in eighth grade, we were supposed to come as what we wanted to be whenever we grew up. And I was like, well, I mean, I'll just be a lawyer. And my mom was begging me to not be a lawyer because she's a paralegal. And she's like, no, you've worked in a law firm. You don't get to have time with family if you do want a family. It is a toxic environment. It's not meant for women, honestly. Like, she was going through it, and she's like, they are not treated fairly in the workplace whenever it comes to law. And there's a tendency for them to have like a, everybody just calls them over emotional because women do have a tendency to attach more to cases. She's like, no, I'm begging you not to become a lawyer. And I was like, you know, mom, I'm fine. I'm a low key, a little heartless. I think I could do it. And she's like, no, you couldn't. Like, you have a heart of gold. You can't do it. I'm like, okay, whatever. So I remember sitting on the bathroom, not the bathroom counter, joking. I remember sitting on the kitchen counter and I was crying to my mom. I'm like, nobody thinks I can do this. I don't understand, because that's whenever I told her that I wanted to go to FITM. And she's like, okay, 5-second game. And I love playing this game with people because you truly get to find out how you feel. And you get 5 seconds. And you're supposed to answer as quickly as possible. Like, it's not supposed to even be 5 seconds. Like, we call it the 5-second game because, like, in a sense, 5 seconds and you have to answer. But And, like, my brother, he doesn't play this game. You have to be a specific personality to be able to play this game, I think. But you are, you're presented with two options. And you have to pick an option. So, or not even two options. You're presented with a question that is, like, a one-word answer. And you're supposed to pick an answer. And my mom looked at me and she goes, okay, it's 5 years from now. So, like, I'm in college. She's like, you're in college, you're walking in the halls with some friends, where are you? You're about to head to your lunch space, you're going to a, like, you might be going to your next class, you're talking about your homework, where are you? And immediately I was like, I'm at FITM. And she's like, there's your answer, let's make it happen. And so, like, my mom was truly the only support I really had whenever it came to going to FITM. Like, my family didn't want me to go across the country. Like, yeah, they supported me once I had gotten accepted because, like, that was impressive or whatever. But, like, nobody wanted me to move across the country. I vividly remember my aunt looking at me and say, well, who wants a girl from Arkansas in fashion? And I had another aunt that was so big on me about my SAT and ACT scores, and I told her I didn't care about any of that. Like, I didn't care. Like, I was becoming a delinquent of high school because I hated going to, like, I hated it. It was miserable to me at the end of it. Like, I was hitting senioritis sophomore year. Like, I was done. And so I definitely knew that I wasn't made for a traditional college, but I'll also, like, I had relationships that I was in that, you know, they didn't support me, and they didn't support, like, their family came forward saying they didn't support me in going to FITM and said that I wouldn't make it out here very long, and that, you know, I mean, there's some things that I will not repeat for the privacy of other people, but, like, I did find out about things. I did find out that people were talking trash and that they didn't support the fact that I was doing this, or they didn't think I was going to make it, or she's not going to make it in LA past 2 years. She'll miss her mom too much. Like, it was all this shit. And I vividly remember all of those things. And it doesn't equal your success, but I do believe it adds to your success. And that is what I would tell my 15-year-old self of, like, the support that you're given is not a direct correlation of how successful you will be. Typically, it's the exact other way around. Like, the less support you get, the more successful you are, because in a sense, we're humans, we're creatures of competition. And so I'm going to sit here and you're going to say, I can't do it. And I'm going to say, yes, I can. And I'm going to prove to you that I can, because I'm competitive and I'm going to fucking prove to you you're wrong. And so, like, again, support doesn't equal success. I believe that the lack of support adds to your success. And, I was not in a great nobody supported the idea that I wanted to go to a creative school and do creative things and do all this stuff. And now they're eating their words, but neither here nor there, I had one person that unconditionally supported me. Unconditionally. I didn't have anybody else that unconditionally supported me until I moved out here. Like, I have some great friends that it doesn't matter what I tell them, they're like, yes, do it, let's do it, we can do it, we can make it happen. Like, I presented that business plan to that one friend I was talking about last week, and they were just like, yes, let's do it, let's make it happen. And I had Sarah present me her brand that she's wanting to launch. And I was like, let's do it. Let's make it happen. Because we out here are all such big hustlers that we support each other. Because truthfully, we know that there's really nobody else supporting us. Like, there's a very, like, maybe Sarah's mom is supporting her. And, you know, my other friend, his parents are very supportive and kind of let him do his thing. They might question it, but they support him. Where I came from somewhere where I didn't have any support, and it was all me. And my mom was my only support. And partially, she's the only reason I'm out here. Because if it wasn't for her pushing me to come out here whenever everybody was telling me to not come out here, I would not have made it. I would not be here. I would be in Arkansas. And this probably wouldn't exist, and the bridal bell probably wouldn't exist, and there's probably be, like, I'd probably be stuck at a receptionist job, actually still in college, in Arkansas. I don't know what I'd be doing, but it wouldn't be this. So, that's what I would tell my 15-year-old self. Fuck the haters. Fuck the haters. The second thing, or the third thing, fairy tales are few and far between. Oh, goodness. Josephine just loves a good old fairy tale. And we're not shocked. She's going into the bridal industry. You have to love fairy tales to go into that. And although I do believe they exist, I do believe they are few and far between. And that whole three love thing is a real thing. Like, it is a real thing. Although your three loves may be the same person three different times, you will fall in love at least three times in your life, romantically, I should say. In turn, I believe that I have hit my third love, truthfully. But I will say, this last person I have been with has been two of them. And like, low-key, that's kind of whack. Like, I've never been a person, like, you know, God always puts them in your life and you're like, that's completely opposite of what I ever said. And somehow this person just pops into your life and you're like, whack. And nothing quite pans out exactly how you had thought it would. It's all kind of opposite, but it's like really beautiful and you're obsessed with them. Like, that's kind of the vibe. And in turn, I've always said that I hate, like, I don't want a relationship that breaks. I don't want a relationship that takes a second. I believe breaks are stupid. Like, this whole thing. And you don't realize how much whatever you're learning about yourself and who you are and what you need from a person on how you're growing consistently. And at this time in my life, I'm growing so much. Like, if somebody were to get on their knee right now and say, I want to marry you, I'd probably throw up. Like, no, please do not propose to me. I don't even know what I want. If I want to have somebody else's last name, like, I don't know anything yet. Like, please do not. And so, with that being said, I feel there's a lot of growing and a lot of understanding, and everything that I held down in the past, I'm like, no, like, truthfully, it's cool. Like, that didn't bother me as much as I thought it would. It was actually really, really helpful. And just, like, keeping an open mind was so beneficial. But I do believe my first love was my high school sweetheart. There was a guy before that I said I loved, but I didn't really love him. I just thought I did because I have attachment issues every now and then. But my high school sweetheart was definitely my first love, without a doubt. And so, with a first love, I feel like there's so many misconceptions, because it's everybody's just like, you don't ever really know what love is. Like, low-key, you're consistently learning over and over again what love is and where it has a hold depending on the relationship. Is this a romantic relationship? Is this a friendship? Is this a professional relationship? There's all kinds of different ways of loving. And so I feel like we're continuously learning what love is. But I am convinced I was in love with my high school sweetheart. And him and I were best friends beforehand. He might, like, I know that his sister-in-law listens to this podcast, so they definitely know who I'm talking about. But, like, I was head over heels in love with this kid. And, like, we truly did, like, we looked in love. Like, it was adorable. And if I would have stayed in Arkansas, we might have worked. I'm not sure. But neither here nor there, I was definitely in love with him. And I feel like that was the first out of the three. And it's that one where it's like you are learning love, you're learning yourself, you're learning new things, and it's this puppy love, this high school love. Like, it's a true high school sweetheart infatuation with each other. And this poor kid, I was such a drama queen sometimes, and he definitely dealt with me in the best way possible. Like, I was also recovering from an abusive relationship, and he was so helpful. Like, he was truly, like, a great boyfriend, and I will give him all the props for that. My second love, however, was the first guy out here that I dated seriously. And this was like, they say this is like more of your rocky love. Like, it's not bad, but it's not quite right. Like, you're close. You feel it. You're so close, but something's not hitting perfectly. And I remember right before we broke up, like the morning that he came to me, because he came to me in the evening and was like, hey, I think we should break up. And that morning I was like, I kind of miss being single. And I've never thought that in a relationship that I feel safe in and feel comfortable in. Like, if I'm feeling good about the relationship, I don't think about anybody else. Like,
you won't catch me even thinking about going out and getting a drink with, excuse me, a drink with somebody. Like, I don't want to do any of that. And so with all this, I was sitting there and I was like, I thought about that and I was like, whoa, do I want to break up? And so I became a little stressed. I was like, hold up, maybe I do want to break up and like give some time to myself and just like low-key have a hoe phase. And so I was like, I don't know. And him and I ended up breaking up, and it was definitely like the best thing for us. He moved out and it was definitely necessary. And I think we just moved too quickly. I'm used to Arkansas speed, and he had some things that he needed to work through. I had some things I needed to work through. We truly just weren't ready for a relationship like that to that standard yet. And so whenever we had gotten back together, and we still haven't technically like gotten completely together, I guess you could say, but we are like talking and dating again. He grew a lot. We were only on a break for like a month and a half. And we truly did grow a lot in that month and a month and a half. Like, I didn't expect to grow as much as we did. He didn't expect to grow as much as we did. Like, neither of us were prepared for how, neither of us were prepared for how much we would grow in a short amount of time not being around each other. And it wasn't even just like an exponential growth in our careers or anything. It was mostly a growth of just like personally. Like, we just needed a minute to breathe. Like, we've been surrounded by each other for the past 6 months and we didn't breathe without each other. And learning to breathe on your own again is scary, yeah, but it was so beneficial for us. And I think that really helped us moving into this next version of our relationship, because we're sitting here and it's like, I am in love with this man, but it's more of a, it's a healthy love. Like, it was low-key toxic the first time around, and it was just like a codependence and a very, like, I very much depended on him to bring me happiness, and that was unfair of me, and I needed to realize that and learn that my happiness was based on how I made myself feel, not on how somebody else made me feel. And I couldn't depend on somebody for my happiness. Like, I had to bring that for myself. So that was like a little bit of a struggle for me, and it was very beneficial that we had that break and I could learn that about myself. However, in this new run of this relationship, I feel that we're not so codependent. Like, he's called me during this podcast once or twice. I think twice, because I've had to stop for a second. But like, the first time was I had tried on a pair of jeans and I wanted him to see them. And so I had called him and he was on the phone with somebody. And so he had just gotten a chance to call me back. And then the second time, it was him calling saying, oh crap, no, I can't come over actually tonight and work out or anything because I forgot I have a flat on my car. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then I hop right back into this podcast. Like, it wasn't anything crazy. Kai just doesn't know how to text people. He only knows how to FaceTime people. So he'll just call me. But neither here nor there, that was a healthy conversation where it's like, I'm not upset that he's not coming over. Like, okay, cool. I'm gonna sleep in my bed tonight. I'm excited to sleep in my bed by myself. Like, woohoo, I'm stoked. And so, like, just learning that my happiness doesn't depend on other people and that I can survive without other people was very beneficial for us in this break. And I think that it has led us to having a healthier relationship this time. And I love the relationship I'm in right now. The fourth thing I would tell myself is you'll grow into it. So my 15-year-old self is very self-conscious, as we all are at 15. I feel like no matter who you are self-conscious about pimples that you have coming up, or, you know, your friend group or your boyfriend. You know, sometimes maybe you get secondhand embarrassment. I know I did. You also, like, I was self-conscious about my nose and my feet and my weight, my body. I wasn't as skinny as these other girls. I was buffer. I had broader shoulders. My feet were bigger. I was so tall. I looked down on everybody, including the guys. I didn't feel like I had much shape. I was just a tall board and I had broad shoulders and I wasn't enjoying myself. My nose felt too big. I thought I had love handles. Like, I was beating myself up at 15. And all I have to tell myself at 15 on this topic is you'll grow into it. Because I've grown into my nose and now it looks like normal on my face. I don't look weird. I don't feel like I ever looked weird, but I did have a few family members point out my nose and it made me very uncomfortable. And then, like, the same thing with the love handles. Like, girl, I have love handles now. I love them. Like, they pull that shape out of me. And, like, do I want to tone them up a little bit? Yeah, but it's not anything I can't handle. And understanding that those things are things that I can pull, completely can pull into my control was very beneficial. And I think a very large turning point for me of, like, Josephine, a majority of what you're upset about, you can fix yourself. Like, you can't fix the size of your feet, so why are you upset about it? You can't fix your height, so why are you upset about it? You can fix that you have love handles, so why don't we work on that? You can fix who you're surrounding yourself with, so why don't we work on that? Like, there's some, you, it's really just tossing things in category of, like, what you can and cannot control. There is no point in beating yourself up on something that you literally have zero control over. I cannot control that I am a size 10 in shoes. And that's not that big. Like, yeah, it bothers me sometimes, but just, girl, toss a heel on it. It's not that big. Like, it, truthfully. And so, that is one thing, and that's the only thing I'll say about whenever it comes to, like, my appearance or anything, where I truly was, like, self-conscious at 15, and you'll grow into it. You'll grow into your height. You'll learn to love it. You'll grow into your hips. You'll learn to love them. You'll love your shoulders because they'll give you an hourglass look. You're gonna learn to love the things you hate. And I want anybody that's listening to this that is younger, you're going to learn to love what you hate. You don't hate it, truthfully. Like, let's think about it. You don't hate it. Other people have told you you should hate it. And you shouldn't hate it because it's you. 100%, 1000%, it's you. And girl, you look good. You look beautiful. I adore you. And I hope that somebody needed to hear that today, because I adore you and you're doing great things and you'll grow into it. You'll grow into the love that you need for yourself, without a doubt. Anyways, now that we got out of that sappiness, the last thing, sorry, I screamed for a second there. The last thing I would tell my 15-year-old self is to never lose your muchness. I don't know if y'all have watched Alice in Wonderland, and I have a love-hate relationship with Alice in Wonderland because my dad used to, I never have enjoyed being perceived as weak. And so in sports, if I was to do something weak, I say weak, it would be something like whenever I played softball, I wouldn't have a strong arm or a strong throw, or I would be overthinking in the batter's box, or whenever I would tip during volleyball instead of hitting on a perfect set, or if I would, you know, not push myself hard whenever I'm running at track, or not jump high enough in high jump, or, you know, not thrust my hips, whatever it may be, my dad would call me Alice. He'd be like, Alice, get your shit together. And it, for some reason, that name enraged me. Like, oh, it made me so mad. And it's funny because I kind of want to name my kid Alice because I think that'd be so cute and, like, low-key, like, so nostalgic for me. Because it was a way, like, my dad and I have a tough relationship. And I say tough. It's not tough. It's just that more than anything, we're not great at communicating our feelings or anything. And so he'd say that in a way of like, come on, get your shit together. But you're at a school event, so you can't really say, Josephine, get your shit together. You're just like, come on, Alice. And I knew exactly what he meant. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And so at that point, I'd get my shit together. And like, I say that. There was one time at a volleyball game. I don't remember what I did, but I definitely messed up. And it was during volleyball. I was like a freshman. And he was like, what the fuck, Alice? I still remember my grandpa looking at him just like, eyes so big, like, Trav, we're at a school event. It was so funny. And I remember hearing that day, and then my coach looked over at my assistant coach and was like, who's Alice? And my assistant coach was actually, like, a family member of mine, but it's, like, down the line, but a family member of mine nonetheless, and she pointed at me, and Coach Parrish goes, yeah, what he said, and it was so funny, but neither here nor there. my dad had this name, and I took it to heart because I identify with Alice a lot in Alice in Wonderland. I have what my mom calls muchness, and that's exactly what they call it in Alice in Wonderland. It's like your sparkle. It's what makes people love you so much, that light, that sparkle that you have, whatever it is, they love your muchness. And so with this in mind, my mom always would bring that up. And so if I was like, I went through a really depressive episode whenever I was in 10th grade, I was in an abusive relationship, as you know, and I just was not myself. And I had came back from my confirmation retreat, and I was different. I felt different. I knew something had changed in myself, and there was a lot of self-reflection on this retreat, so I knew something had changed. And she had told me, she's like, Alice, you're losing your muchness. And it was that, and then she would also say every now and then, like, you're not as muchy as you used to be. I used to be much muchier. And it was just like, that was her way of being like, are you okay? And like, and she would, it was like a deeper mental health check. It wasn't just like, hey, how are you doing? Like, it was a, are you good? Like, seriously, tell me and I can help you kind of thing. It's like an olive branch from my mother, truly. And with this in mind, I have always really related to the word muchness. My family, my friends, even some of my peers back home, or like, I don't want to say elders because it makes them sound like they're very, very old, but some people that were older than me, they were like my mom's friends or like family friends, whatever may be, they would always say that I was such a light walking into the room. They're like, you're such a light. Like, everything's going to be okay. I just need you to look at me and say, everything's okay. And then all of a sudden, everything's okay. And I'm like, well, I'm glad that I have that effect on people. I truly do. Like, it makes me very, very happy inside that I have that effect on people and they get an impact from me like that. It does warm my heart. And so I identify with the muchness. I used to take offense to it because I thought that made me so odd. I thought that I would be considered an outcast or weird because I had this just like, I have this, I just love people. And I don't hide that I love people. And I think that that is intimidating to a lot of people, which is why I thought that it was weird. And so with all this in mind, which I've said that phrase like 3 times, I guess I need to get to the point. But never losing your muchness is really just saying, don't ever lose your sparkle. Don't ever lose that light that people love about you. Everybody has a reason that everyone loves them. I haven't met a person that there is not a large group of people that love them. It's just they don't know exactly why they love them. They're just like, there's something about you. And that's what you always hear. Oh, there's just something about you. There's just something about you. There's just something about you. It's not that. It's your muchness. That's that something. It's your muchness. Like, you're a light. You're a gem. You're fun to hang around. You make people laugh. You make people feel good. You're always there for mental health support. Whatever it may be, your muchness is what they're attracted to. And so with all of this in mind, it is so, so beneficial to keep that muchness close. And I have lost it time and time again. I swear it's like a dog. It just wanders off every now and then if you don't close the gate. And so keeping your muchness close and learning when you need a revamp in your muchness. It's kind of like some flowers. Sometimes you just need to toss some fresh water in there. Whatever it may be, like, muchness is a beautiful little thing, and I love that muchness is a word in my day-to-day living, but please, I am begging you, and this is what I would tell my 15-year-old self as well, do not lose your muchness. Don't lose what makes you, you. What makes me, me, is that I love people, I'm passionate about what I do, and I'm not afraid to explain my passion. I'm not afraid to work hard to make those things happen. That's my muchness through and through. So what's your muchness? What makes you happy? What makes you, you? What makes people want to be around you? And don't lose it. You never want somebody to look at you and be like, you're not as muchy as you used to be. And like, although that's a Mad Hatter quote of like, you seem to have lost your muchness, you're not as muchier as you used to be. It's just pretty much him saying like, you've grown up. Like, you're not as carefree and open-minded and, you know, curious as you used to be. That was the way that he was pretty much saying that to Alice. And yet, I have identified with the word muchness in saying that I am not who I used to be, yes, but I still am who I am at the core. It's the roots, truthfully. Anyways, in summary, I would tell myself as a 15-year-old those five things. The five things of, like, crying is truly a part of the process. We all know it. Just get a good cry in, my friend. The support does not equal the success. This might have been my favorite thing that I came up with, and it was, like, the second thing I came up with, because the support truly doesn't equal the success. Just because someone doesn't support you doesn't mean that you're not going to be successful. Block out the haters, man. Toss on the shades. Fairy tales are few and far between. I agree with this wholeheartedly. I'm all about everyone has love and everyone has that person and that soulmate. And, you know, as I say this, so this is love is going through my head and from Cinderella. But it doesn't change the fact that fairy tales, what you see in movies, are few and far between. And if you have it, please hold on to it. But make sure you're not being delusional. Please hold on to it. And be in reality checking of yourself and ensuring that you're not just delusionally falling in love in this relationship where it's really not a healthy relationship. I do want you to kind of check yourself because it's necessary to make sure that you're not just, like, imagining all these things. And last but not... Oh, nope. And then I keep trying to skip this one. You'll grow into it. I definitely, this is one of my favorite pieces of advice that I gave myself in 2020. I still give it to myself in 2022 because we are all insecure about something, but that something makes you you, and I love that about you, so please don't change it. And last but not least, never lose your muchness. And that right there, I feel, is enough of me talking about all that. Truthfully, I have... love talking to you all about this because I feel like it's something I hold very close to my heart. I am a firm believer. I was a motivational speaker at some point in my past life. Like, do I believe in past lives? No. But I do believe that whenever I die and hopefully go to heaven, I'm going to be on a soapbox giving motivational speeches. Like, I love motivating people, and I hope that this episode did just that. I don't care if you're 27, 28, 38, 98, 18, 15, 8 years old. I do not care. I hope that you got something out of this episode and that you're taking it to heart. And I would love to hear about what you guys want to hear about. I plan to have my friend, oh my God, I plan to have Sarah on the podcast here soon, talking about, like, what's it like to launch a brand in LA, a fashion brand, because I'm not launching ready-to-wear right now. Mine's a service brand, so mine's a little different. But I'd love to hear about what you guys want to hear about, whether that be in about the bridal bell, about launching this podcast, about my life in LA, about relationships. I just want to know what you guys want to hear about because I don't want it to be very one-sided and me just talking about a whole bunch of stuff that y'all don't care about. So please, 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 please let me know what you want to hear about. And I am super excited for next week's episode. And I will see you guys at brunch. Have a happy, happy Easter, and enjoy the rest of your week. Bye, everybody.